This morning, our brother Jamie Myron will exhort us. Brother Jamie.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. It's nice to see so many people here. The number seems to get larger and larger week by week, but I must say, sitting in the back corner, looking around, preparing myself to come up here, I got a little bit nervous because it's been quite a while since I've spoken in front of so many lovely faces. This is going to be a little bit of a windy road of an exhortation, so I ask that you please bear with me. Try to listen. Not that anything that I have to say is intelligent, but hopefully if you pay attention to everything, it will all make sense. So, after about 5 years of not having a family doctor, which is quite common nowadays, I finally now have a nurse practitioner. And the first thing that she wanted to do was do a full blood workup about 3 months ago, which honestly I have not had done for at least 20 years. So she ordered the blood work. She also ordered a chest TC scan focused mainly on my lungs because, to be quite honest, I was a heavy smoker for about 30 years. I quit that about 3 or 4 years ago, which is good, but she just wants to make sure. Now, I'm not worried about any of these tests because I'm fine. I work a physical job. I eat fairly well, and everything should be okay. I know I was gaining a little bit of weight, and I will probably have to lose some, but I'm not too worried about that. So when the results come in, she proceeds to inform me that I have high blood pressure. I have really high cholesterol. I am overweight. And stating that the average male of my age and healthy condition has approximately a 4% chance of having a heart attack or stroke. But with my numbers, I'm currently at 12%. And now, while that number seems low percentage-wise, that is 3 times the average person. Now, she gave me some options. She said that I can start taking a pill that will help with my cholesterol, a pill to help with my blood pressure, or I can try a drastic lifestyle change, changing my diet, extremely changing my diet, and also adding exercise, even though I have a physical job. And I said, well, I don't like those odds. Let's make the changes. So for the past 3 months, I made drastic changes to my diet. And my family is right there to attest that although I've had a few little slips, I have drastically changed my diet. I now look at a piece of triple chocolate cake and go, I do not want to die. And I'll eat some grapes. So 3 months go by. And, I forgot to say that. Now, don't be all panicky because I'm not. But the CT scan showed that I do have clouding on one of my lungs. So I had to go for another CT scan in 3 months' time. That initial CT scan also showed that I, in fact, have arthritis in my spine, which is also a great pleasure. I just thought it was aches and pains. Now, so I go back after 3 months of diligently trying to change myself. I have lost, in fact, 15 to 20 pounds, which is good. I still have a little more to go. But when I got the blood work back, the numbers have not really changed. Because not only is it my lifestyle, it's also a genetic issue. So I now have to take a pill for my cholesterol. I have to go through more testing for my blood pressure to find out what the cause of that is. Now, I have friends who take cholesterol medication and say that that's all they do. And their bellies are getting larger. Mine is luckily getting smaller. And even though I'm taking the pill, I'm going to continue with my lifestyle change for the rest of my life. Because I do not want to die early. I do not want to die prematurely. I do not want to have a heart attack or a stroke. Now, why am I disclosing this? The reason is for 50 years, I've done what I want. I've eaten what I wanted. I smoked for 30 years, knowing the potential damage. It wasn't a secret, but I did it anyway. And now I am paying the price for the choices that I've taken, for following my own wants and my own desires, putting my life at risk because it felt good at the time. And that's what I wanted to do. Now, if a friend told me that I needed to change my eating habits, or a family member, I would have brushed that off aside and not listened and says, who are you to tell me what to do? And I think a great majority of us would do that. But a stranger with a piece of paper with the documentation and proof that I have a higher likelihood of dying unless I change my ways, I woke up. And in this past 3 months, I realized that I need to do the exact same thing with my life in the truth. I need to have a spiritual checkup. I need to be ready to make a lifestyle change. Because I got baptized at age 16. That's 36 years ago. I made lifestyle changes when I got baptized. But the sins that I have committed and the way I have lived my life as an adult, baptized person in Christ are far greater than any sin that I could have imagined doing at 15 or younger. I'd like all of you to think about that for a moment. How many sins have you committed post-baptism compared to pre-baptism? How many times have we justified our sins just like we do our diet? I'm not doing that. I'm only doing this. You know, it's just a small piece of cake. It's not that big of a deal. But we do justify. How many times have we said the phrase, whether it's concerning us or concerning someone else, I know it's wrong, but I kind of understand. Well, kind of understanding does not excuse a sin. It does not make it not a sin. It is still a sin. We have to struggle with that. I have to struggle with that. I know that the things and the habits and the situations that I've put myself into over the years doesn't mean that it's right. I need to be willing to change. Just because I've done something for 20 or 30 or 40 years does not mean that it's right in the eyes of God. It does not mean that it is acceptable. And what I've been trying to do, and to steal a playbook from Brother Mac, if you're going to remember anything from this exhortation, remember this. The next time you're trying to justify to yourself or someone else a sin, take a moment and say, will this justification, will this excuse work when I'm in before my Lord at judgment? Is he going to say, yeah, it's wrong, but I understand? No, he's not. So I have come to realize that my thoughts and my decisions and my concerns with my physical health have been wrong and have led me to current and future results. Or issues. I've also realized that with my life in the truth. When I come through those doors, I'm supposed to leave the world behind. And we can all say that, and we all do that. But the world's also in here. It's in our thoughts and our minds, because the world tells us that my thought, my view, my opinion is important. It matters. The unfortunate thing is, when we do that, we oftentimes forget that we have many other people here with thoughts and views and opinions. And what makes ours more important than anyone else's? Genesis chapter 6. Just a quick little verse. That's Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know what is in someone's heart? I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doings. We have joined here today, well, for a long time, as one body, to be presented as the bride to Christ, working together with one common goal. All of us here have heard many, many a time that we are all one body, that we need each and every limb to work together, right? We've all heard that over and over again in exhortation after exhortation. But there's more to it than that. I can live without digits on my hand. I can most likely live without a limb. It's not going to be easy, but I can do it. But it's not easy. So we have to keep the body together. But not only do we have to keep the body together, as Brother Sean said in his exhortation a few weeks ago, he lives in chronic pain. I live in chronic pain. It's not nice. When we were younger and our bodies were fit and healthy, everything was easier. Why? Because everything was working together without an ache or a pain. Right? So not only are we one body together, brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that each and every one of us are spiritually healthy, so that when we are presented before Christ as that bride, we are found to be an acceptable part of him, a collective people, looking out for one another. In Daniel chapter 9, his prayer, he speaks to the Lord. Daniel chapter 9. Sorry, yes, I do keep on looking up and I did lose my space, but we'll get back on there. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 3. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly by departing from your precepts and judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants and prophets who spoke in your name to our kings and to our princes, to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us is the shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all of Israel, those near and those far off in the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. He did not pray on behalf of the people. He included himself. We have gone against the Lord. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 9, please. Now, as Paul is walking along the way, he is approached, and the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why art thou persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." Now, in this account, I've often asked myself, why was Paul blinded? I'm sure I've been told the answer many times, but still, like, why? Why was he blinded? I believe that he was blinded because he was already blind. He was blind with rage. He was blind with anger. He was so focused on his mission of self-righteousness and indignation that he was going to rid the cities of these blasphemous believers, that he couldn't see anything else. He couldn't see the bigger picture. The phrase, "you can't see the forest because of the trees." So he was then blinded. His focus of his rage and what he was doing was removed from him. And then he saw the light clearly. His heart might have been in the right place, but his avenue and his mission was wrong. And then he made drastic lifestyle changes for the rest of his life. Not a crash diet to get down to a goal weight. A lifetime of changes in which then he was persecuted and judged and tormented. But he kept going. Happily, prayerfully, with enthusiasm. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Let's start in verse 14. "And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" Ephesians chapter 3. It's Ephesians chapter 3, beginning of verse 7. "Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see that the fellowship of the mystery of which is from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church and to the principalities and to the powers in the heavenly places." Even though he was given the blessings and the powers of God, he humbled himself He didn't go through with the arrogance. He didn't go through with pride. He humbled himself. We go to Titus chapter 3. Yes, I'm fumbling finding Titus because it's slipping through my fingers. Titus chapter 3. Beginning at verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which they have done, but by according to the mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who believe, that have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and useless. This is the third ecclesia I've been a part of. The first ecclesia was Vancouver proper, down on Slocan Street. And that ecclesia ended up splitting into three: Surrey, New Westminster, and Maple Ridge. When I was in Maple Ridge, there ended up being some tensions and contentions, and my family left Maple Ridge. My family was also part of the disbanding or the separations of the Vancouver Ecclesia. So I know firsthand the goings in, zins outs. I have no sides because there is no fight for me. It's just a shame to look back and see that the majority of the divisions were not scriptural. They were personal. They were contentious. Both sides could come with scriptural backing, but not with the correct state of mind or the correct heart behind it. We cannot, as many of you will remember my grandfather, you cannot come with a stack of information, put it on someone's lap and say, there you go, research it. I've given you all the information you need. We need to discuss with one another our opinions and our thoughts and our views. Not talk to, not talk at, not lecture. We need to discuss with one another. Second Chronicles chapter 29. Second Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. So the assembly brought in sacrifices and offerings. As many as were willing of heart brought burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. And all of these were burnt for an offering before the Lord. The consecrated things were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore, their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, and the fat of the peace offerings with the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people since the events took place so suddenly. The Levites stood up, stepped in to help. Not to take over, not to ridicule, not to make the priests feel bad. They stepped up to help, which is a very important lesson to each and every one of us. Because no one here is more important than the other. We have all been called by God. We have all answered that call. That means that God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. That also means that each and every one of us are a part of God's plan. So no one is greater than the other. That being said, that also means that no one is lesser than another. I've seen struggles in ecclesias. I've seen where older members start stepping back and younger members start stepping in. It's always a hard transition time. It's very akin to being a parent and your child is growing up and becoming an adult and you realize you can't ground them anymore if they do wrong. We have to sit back and allow things to happen. We might not agree with it. We might be stubborn. We might say that's not the way it's been done. I have those views. We all, I believe, are guilty of those views. This is not the way that I was raised for the bread and the wine. It's always been covered. It is now no longer covered. That is odd to me because I've seen that for 50 years. It does not mean that it's wrong. It does not take away from the importance of the bread and the wine. It's just different. It's not wrong. It's just different. We as older members need to relinquish and to allow things to go through some changes. Always being ready when things fall to step in and help. Not judge, not criticize, not ridicule, not say I told you so, but to be like the Levites. Step in and help until the job is done for one common goal. And that is the working of Christ. That is following God's will. And as younger people need to step up and take on more responsibility, not being afraid to stumble and fall. It's okay. We all do. We all have. We need your enthusiasm. We need to see that enthusiasm. When I come on Friday nights to drop off food when we're doing an event on the weekend and I see the young people having a great time and I want to hang out. And then I realize, well, that's kind of creepy because I'm an old guy, you know, but that enthusiasm, we can't squash it. We got to let them try gladly and openly, wholeheartedly sitting back saying, look, the meeting's going to be okay. That's what's important. But in order to do that, we all must put ourselves in check. Not each other, ourselves. This Bible, this book has the diet, the sleep ways, everything concerning our lives, how to live a healthy, happy life. Everything in here. Don't drink to excess. Don't be out late at night. Don't sin. All these things to keep us healthy spiritually. And we need to have ourselves checked on a regular basis. And we need to be willing to make drastic lifestyle changes. God has brought us together as one unit. Let's keep it that way. Let us remember that the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ is the pill. We individually are the lifestyle.